get that runway project shovel ready. ACINA has an idea to reduce the deficit. And NTSB reports on an SR-22 that lost power in flight. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, September 8, 2010. In a Labor Day speech, President Obama talked about a new spending initiative to further spike the job market. It will involve more stimulus spending, this time $50 billion. An official White House statement explains, quote, "The president laid out a bold vision for renewing and expanding our transportation infrastructure in a plan that combines a long-term vision for the future with new investments. A significant portion of the new investments would be front-loaded in the first year," unquote. The statement also says the program will, quote, "reform the way America currently invests in transportation, changing our focus to enhancing competition, innovation, performance, and real analysis that gets taxpayers the best bang for the buck, while moving away from the earmarks and formula debates of the past." In prior years, transportation infrastructure was an issue that both parties worked on together, and the administration hopes the same can be true now, unquote. In contrast to the administration's anti-business aviation rhetoric of the recent past, the new proposal includes building 150 miles of runway, although it's not clear whether that means new runways, fixing old ones, or some mix. It's also not clear how much bipartisanship can be expected on a new spending program, but midterm congressional elections are less than 60 days away. I know how I'm betting. There was no detail in the White House announcement about where the funds to increase transportation spending would come from, but Airports Council International North America responded immediately with one idea. ACINA President Gregory Principato's statement said, quote, "We agree with the president that an investment in transportation infrastructure is needed. President Obama and Congress could immediately have an impact by completing work on the pending FAA reauthorization bill. The House version of the bill, which includes a $2.50 increase in the cap on the passenger facility charge, would provide airports with the ability to make needed infrastructure improvements while creating 125,000 jobs right now, without increasing the federal deficit. The bill also includes provisions that are necessary to turn NextGen into NowGen," unquote. The National Transportation Safety Board has issued a preliminary report on the engine outlanding of a Cirrus SR-22 August 29th, on a golf course in Acworth, Georgia. The total loss of power happened during descent on a training flight in VMC. Neither the instructor nor the student were injured, but the plane was substantially damaged in the landing. The curious part is the instructor said the left and right fuel tanks contained 14 gallons of fuel when they departed, but investigators on the scene said they drained 16 gallons from the right tank and the left tank was dry. While the left tank was ruptured, they could find no evidence of any fuel having spilled from it. The airplane has been relocated to a salvage company, pending further examination by an FAA inspector and the engine manufacturer. Up next on ANN, BAE tells Poland, don't settle for less. MT gets STCs on two new props. And CAE gets Level 7 approval for its A350B2 simulator. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 8th. I'm Paul Plack. The annual MSPO Defense Exhibition is underway in Kielce, Poland this week. And BAE Systems is telling the Polish government it should not make defense acquisitions that don't include some participation by Polish industry. Alan Garwood, Group Business Development Director at BAE, mentioned specifically that Poland's plans to procure a new advanced jet training system can act as a catalyst for Polish industry in a number of industrial sectors, not just in aerospace and defense. Putting in a pitch for his own company, he added, quote, "If our Hawk advanced jet trainer is selected to meet Poland's new generation pilot training requirements, it will present opportunities for Polish industry to become part of a global supplier network, not just of BAE Systems, but also its partners such as Rolls-Royce, which already has a significant presence in Poland," unquote. Garwood points out that in the neighboring Czech Republic, BAE Systems is delivering a 10-year, $1.3 billion industrial partnership program in support of the Gripen fighter lease, and says delivery is approaching 80% of requirement, 2 years ahead of plan. MT Propellers reports STC approval for two new props. The FAA and EASA have certified a new composite four-bladed Scimitar prop on many Beech Baron models with Continental IO-520 and IO-550 engines. The company says the installation improves overall performance, provides almost vibration-free propeller operations, and reduces the weight by about 20 pounds compared with the original metal prop. It also provides more ground clearance for reduced foreign object damage, and the composite blades have no life limit and can be repaired in case of damage. For the Pilatus PC-6, an EASA STC was issued for a four-blade Scimitar composite prop for use with several variants of the Pratt & Whitney Canada PT-6A. MT claims the same improvements in performance and vibration damping as it does for the Baron prop. The composite for the PC-6 reduces the weight by about 31 pounds compared with the original three-blade metal propeller, reduces the outside and cabin noise significantly, and complies with strict German noise regulations. Get more detail on the eligible aircraft models in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. The first CAE 3000 series helicopter mission simulator, a Eurocopter AS-350B2 model located in Phoenix, Arizona, has been qualified by the FAA for Level 7 flight training device credits. CAE's Jeff Roberts explained, quote, "This new capability offers the most immersive, mission-focused experience ever for the civil helicopter market in an environment that is safer and more efficient than training in the aircraft. We have deployed this first simulator in the western United States, so the large number of AS-350 operators in the region can train their pilots conveniently close to their base of operations," unquote. The Phoenix location, near Sky Harbor International Airport, is the fifth site worldwide where CAE training is available for civil helicopter operations. The others include Bangalore, India, and Dubai, United Arab Emirates for the Bell 412, Sesto Calende, Italy for the A109 and AW139, and Morristown, New Jersey for the AW139 and Sikorsky S76. CAE also has announced plans to deploy a Bell 412 Level D full flight simulator in Mexico. Still ahead, Boeing's 787 test fleet is out seeing the world. Three university teams are chosen to design space lofts. And he may still be the first, but he probably won't be the fastest. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is general aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, September 8th. I'm Paul Plack. If most of the planes in Boeing's Dreamliner test fleet haven't been seen in the Seattle area recently, there's a reason for that. Plane number 5 is still there, but the other 4 are out testing the effects of extreme conditions. Boeing says the first Dreamliner has left Edwards Air Force Base in California for a week's worth of testing in Roswell, New Mexico, where it was used earlier to conduct wet runway testing. Testing in the days ahead will include rejected takeoff conditions. 787 No. 2 is conducting high latitude and cold weather testing at Keflavik Airport in Iceland. Dreamliner 3 is in Yuma, Arizona, where temps in excess of 100 degrees Fahrenheit are perfect for performance testing. Plane number 4 has spent an extended period operating out of Victorville, California, conducting flight load survey testing to measure external pressure distributions throughout the flight envelope. When it's done there, it will be headed for more tests in Glasgow, Montana. But lest you think that Dreamliner 5 is taking life easy just because it's still in Puget Sound, well, not so much. Artificial ice shapes have been affixed to the leading edges of the wings and horizontal and vertical stabilizer to complete ice shape testing. Natural ice testing has already been done. Boeing says it's now more than 1,650 hours into its flight test program. The plane's revised entry into service date has been pushed back to the middle of next year's first quarter. NASA and the National Space Grant Foundation have selected university teams from Oklahoma State University, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and the University of Maryland as finalists in a competition to design, manufacture, assemble, and test an inflatable loft. The task is to design and rapidly develop prototype concepts for inflatable habitat lofts for the next generation of space explorers. The loft will be integrated onto an existing NASA operational hard shell prototype habitat. The winning concepts may be applied to space exploration habitats of the future. Next June at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston, the NASA Habitat Demonstration Unit Project will conduct a head-to-head competition among the three teams to successfully demonstrate the loft concept based on a list of NASA requirements. The Houston competition will determine the winning team, which will be awarded additional funds to integrate its design with the NASA habitat during field testing in August and September of 2011. The National Space Grant Foundation will award the three teams $48,000 each to cover the costs of their design development and participation in the head-to-head competition. An additional $10,000 will be awarded to the team that wins the competition to offset costs of participating in the integrated field testing. And finally today, Irish energy company executive and adventurer Norman Surplus is calling a timeout, but not the end of the game. His attempt to become the first person to circumnavigate the globe in a gyroplane is on hold till late spring next year. Norman set out from his home in Larne, Ireland in late March, expecting a four-month trip transiting 26 countries, all to call awareness to the fight against colon cancer, which he has survived. He made amazing progress, flying his Rotax 914-powered MT-03 over long water crossings, mountains, and through deserts. But a careless takeoff with a combination of all-up weight and density altitude that exceeded even the turbocharger's margin forced him to ditch in a pond in Thailand. Despite prompt repairs, delays in the British bureaucracy's approval of those repairs cost him an additional 2 months, and now weather in the northern latitudes is closing in for the year. In his blog, Norman says his mount is safely stabled for the winter, and he'll be back in the air in the spring. Quote, "The very technically challenging section of the flight towards the Bering Sea has a seasonal time gate. The fact that the days are now ever shortening, temperatures dropping, and the weather becoming increasingly more changeable has made the decision to pause at this point all the easier. The late spring restart will bring lengthening daylight and much more room for any subsequent delays or points of interest stop-offs en route. The timetable will once again fall into line with the original expedition timings, albeit 1 year later, which will allow for a late May Bering Sea transit and an early July Atlantic Ocean crossing," unquote. Norman may still be the first to complete the circumnavigation in an autogyro, but he's certainly leaving the door wide open to improve on the speed record. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll observe Frank Robinson's retirement last month from Robinson Helicopter by opening a 2008 time capsule and hearing his thoughts about the industry, composites and glass panels, and whether the R-22 makes a good primary trainer. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.